Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Black Skin, White Masks by Frantz Fanon is a foundational work in postcolonial thought that examines how racism and colonial domination shape identity, desire, and everyday social life. Written by a psychiatrist from Martinique who later joined the Algerian anti-colonial struggle, the book connects psychological experience with political structures, showing how the harm of racism is not only external, but also internalized. Fanon explores how language, education, and cultural norms pressure Black people to measure themselves against white standards, creating a painful split between who they are and who they are expected to be. He also investigates how white society constructs Blackness through stereotypes that reduce a person to a body, a color, or a myth, part social critique and part psychological analysis. The book remains influential because it names dynamics that still appear in modern debates about representation, assimilation, and systemic inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the psychology of internalized racism and divided identity. A central topic of the book is the inner conflict created when a colonized or racially marginalized person is pressured to see the world through the dominant group's values. Fanon describes how racism can become internalized, not simply as a belief that others hold, but as a felt sense of inadequacy that reshapes self-image, ambition, and relationships. The result is often a divided identity, one self that navigates the expectations of white society, and another that carries the weight of being marked as Black. Fanon treats this as more than an individual problem, arguing that the split is produced by social conditions, institutions, and everyday interactions. He links the emotional consequences to anxiety, shame, and a constant effort to prove worth under unfair rules. By framing these experiences psychologically, he clarifies why assimilation can feel like survival, yet still deepen alienation. The topic is also about reclaiming agency. Recognizing how the social world invades the self is a step toward refusing the roles assigned by racial hierarchy. Secondly, language, education, and the pressure to assimilate. Fanon pays close attention to language as a tool of power. He examines how speaking the dominant language and adopting its accent and manners can be treated as a passport to respectability, while also functioning as a demand to distance oneself from Blackness. In colonial settings, education often rewards proximity to the colonizer's culture, encouraging people to see their own communities as backward and to treat whiteness as the measure of intelligence and refinement. Fanon explores how this dynamic is lived. The person who masters the language may gain access and status, yet may also experience a loss of belonging, a sense of performing, and a fear of being exposed as not truly acceptable. This topic shows assimilation as a double bind, where success depends on adopting norms that implicitly degrade one's origins. Fanon's analysis helps readers see why debates about speech, code-switching, and respectability politics are not merely about communication, they are about recognition, hierarchy, and who gets to be seen as fully human within the dominant cultural frame. Thirdly, the racial gaze and the experience of being made an object. Another major theme is the racial gaze, the way a racist society looks at Black people and turns them into objects of fear, curiosity, or fantasy. Fanon describes how a person can be reduced to their skin, treated as a symbol rather than an individual, and forced to carry the stories others project onto them. This is not only insulting, it reorganizes perception and behavior. Under the gaze, everyday actions can become charged with self-consciousness, as if one must constantly manage how one appears to those who hold social power. Fanon explores how stereotypes operate like ready-made explanations that override personal reality, making it difficult to be encountered as a complex person with ordinary motives. He also shows how this objectification can be sudden and situational, emerging in a glance, a comment, or a public encounter, yet leaving a lasting mark. The topic matters because it connects personal discomfort to structural inequality. The gaze is enabled by institutions and cultural narratives, not just by rude individuals. Fanon's account remains relevant for understanding profiling, representation, and the emotional labor of navigating spaces where one is presumed out of place. Fourthly, desire, relationships, and colonial fantasies. Fanon also investigates how racism distorts intimacy and desire. He analyzes the ways colonial societies attach meaning to race in romance, sexuality, and partnership, turning relationships into sites where status, escape, and validation are negotiated. In such contexts, attraction can be entangled with fantasies of whiteness as purity, safety, or upward mobility, while Blackness is framed through exoticism or taboo. Fanon examines how these narratives harm everyone involved by replacing mutual recognition with roles, the desired object, the rescuer, the proof of sophistication, or the symbol of transgression. This topic emphasizes that private life is not separate from politics. The social order enters the most personal decisions, shaping who feels worthy of love and what kinds of love are socially rewarded. Fanon's approach is provocative because he treats these patterns as historically produced rather than natural preferences. For modern readers, the value lies in how the analysis illuminates contemporary issues such as colorism, fetishization, dating hierarchies, and the subtle ways media images and social approval influence what people believe they want. The goal is not to shame individuals, but to reveal the larger forces that script intimacy in unequal societies. Lastly, toward liberation through decolonizing the self and the social world, the book ultimately pushes beyond diagnosis toward the question of liberation. Fanon argues that freedom requires more than individual self-esteem. It demands transforming the social conditions that produce racial categories as tools of domination. He challenges the reader to consider how identity can become trapped between imitation of whiteness and a reactive stance defined only in opposition. Decolonizing the self, in this sense, involves refusing the standards that make whiteness the default measure of value, and cultivating a sense of personhood that is not dependent on the colonizer's recognition. Fanon's perspective also highlights action and solidarity. Psychological healing is connected to political struggle because the sources of harm are embedded in systems, not merely in personal attitudes. He encourages a future-oriented humanism that aims for new social relations rather than permanent racial myths. This topic resonates with readers seeking frameworks for anti-racism, community empowerment, and critical education. It also invites difficult reflection on how liberation can be pursued without reproducing the same hierarchies in new forms. By linking inner life with collective change, Fanon offers a model for thinking about dignity as both personal and political, grounded in the demand to be fully human on one's own terms. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in race and identity, post-colonial history, political theory, psychology, sociology, and anyone trying to understand how racism operates not only through laws and institutions, but also through everyday interactions and self-perception. Students and researchers will find it valuable as a cornerstone text that influences later debates on decolonization and critical race analysis. General readers can benefit because Fanon provides language for experiences that are often felt but hard to explain, such as the pressure to perform acceptability, the exhaustion of stereotype management, and the emotional costs of being seen through a racial lens. The book can improve a reader's life by sharpening awareness of hidden social pressures, supporting more honest conversations about identity, and encouraging a more compassionate view of how structural forces shape behavior. Compared to similar books, its strength is the unusual combination of clinical insight and political critique, delivered with urgency and philosophical ambition. It does not simply describe racism from the outside. It traces how it enters the mind and relationships, making it a distinctive and enduring work worth buying for anyone building a serious understanding of race in the modern world. If you would like to support Frantz Fanon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.